timing. Thank you, ushers. 3 years ago, we began the year with the normal and routine expectations of life. We didn't know that we were about to face a serious pandemic that would impact the entire world. That year brought change to every arena of life. And when 2022 began, we didn't know that Russia would invade Ukraine and launch a protracted war that is still going on. So as we begin this new year today, we have no idea how this year will unfold. We don't know what we'll face or whether any of us will be around for the entire year. It's good to be alive, isn't it? It's good to be here today. We don't know about tomorrow. A new year is an opportunity for reflection. Reflection about life, about work, about family, and about the things and persons that mean something to us. A new year is an opportunity for reflection on the times and how we shape and handle the times in which we live. A long time ago, someone said, "These are the times that try men's souls." His times were serious, and the times we experience today are also serious. And so the writer of Ecclesiastes reflects upon the times. If you read that book in chapter 1, the writer begins with a pessimistic assertion. And in fact, most of the book is sort of pessimistic, not really hopeful. He says in the first chapter, all is vanity. And then he goes on to share his speculations about life and experiences. He launches then into an experiment with life, trying and testing things. He says, I tried this, I tried that, I tested this, I tested that. And he comes to the conclusion that we have to always be vigilant and we ought to always be conscious about the times in which we live. We have to think about the proper things to do and the proper time to do them. Our text in chapter 3 contains the writer's reflection about time. And in this passage, he speaks about the issue of timing. He talks about the timing of experiences and the choices that we make. And I think that what he says to us is instructive as we begin this new year. So walk with me a little bit as we talk about what the writer says about timing. One of the things that he points out is there is a natural timing in life. Because he says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. That's natural timing. As we begin this year, there are some things we can control. And there are other things we can't control. Life itself contains a natural rhythm. It also contains a level of inevitability. The writer calls this seasons. There are some things in life that are naturally occurring. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Just like the seasons of the year, winter, spring, summer, and autumn, life follows certain patterns and rhythms. So it doesn't make sense to kick against the natural patterns of life, because there's nothing that we can do about it. Those things give life order and structure. It's a part of the natural timing of life. There is a time to be born, the writer says. Now, doctors can speculate about the due date for a baby. The doctors will take some tests and then say, well, this is when the baby is expected. But labor has its own schedule. And even if the doctor is scheduling a C-section and says, on this day and month, we're going to have the C-section, that doesn't have anything to do with what the body does and what happens naturally. It has sometimes its own schedule. And he says, there is a time to die. And I know that's sort of difficult to think about, but there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. That's why the poet says, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. We cannot escape the timing of death. Y'all didn't want to hear that, did you? You can fix your face up. You can dye your hair. You can hold in your bulges. And you can walk around and look to to everybody around you that you're 20 years younger than you really are. But death has its own schedule, right? It's a time for that. We cannot escape it. There's a level of inevitability in life, a natural timing. But that doesn't mean that life doesn't involve human choices. We can alter things. We can alter the timing of birth. That's what they do with C-section. You have to wait till the woman goes into labor. We can alter the time of death. Some people decide to take their own lives. Sometimes they do things to their bodies that cut their lives short. Our choices can impact the natural course of things. The natural timing of life teaches us that we don't have absolute freedom. That as human beings, we think we can go around and do whatever we want to do. But then there's this natural timing that we cannot control. Some things just happen. When we plant seeds, natural timing impacts the harvest. We've been following in the news the snowstorm and impact of the snowstorm in Buffalo, New York. And did you all see about it? It was a major storm. But those of us who've been around for a while know that there have always been huge snowstorms in Buffalo, New York. So if you're planning to move to Buffalo, New York, you had better be ready for major snowstorms. The amount of snow Buffalo gets each year is astounding. And the reason is it's part of the natural course of things in that region of the country. We don't get those kinds of storms here in Texas because we're in a different part of the country and we have a different relationship to the equator and therefore to the sun. So you cannot be alarmed when life visits its rhythms upon us. The rhythms of life are natural. There's a natural timing to life. So this year, some things will naturally occur. Some things will naturally take place, a part of the natural timing of life. That's why Longfellow says so sagaciously in his poem, The Rainy Day. He says, the day is cold and dark and weary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but at every gust the dead leaves fall. And the day is dark and dreary. My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the moldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast and the days are dark and dreary. And here's his wisdom. He says, be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. So we're going to have some dark days this year. But don't worry about the dark days, as the poet says. The sun is still shining behind the cloud. Just because it's a cloudy day doesn't mean the sun has gone on vacation. The sun is still where the sun belongs. It's just that days are different. It's the natural timing of life. And then the writer says, not only is there the natural timing of life, but there's also the human-induced timing. He says, and listen to this part. He says, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. He's talking about human-induced or human-based timing. In verses 2 through 8, the writer lists 14 pairs of opposites, which reflect 28 experiences of life. And some, as I just mentioned, follow a natural rhythm, but most of our experiences are shaped by human beings. Most experiences are shaped by human choices. So we think about things like capital punishment, a time to kill. When we think about the impact of medicine and doctors, a time to heal, those derive from human choices. The support of those who grieve, a time to mourn, when to embrace and when to mourn. You know, you don't come to a funeral to sit up and fall out laughing at the funeral. When the person is crying or when the person is grieving, you come there to support and to comfort, a time to mourn, a time when to laugh. All those are human-induced things. War is a human-induced choice. We operate on the basis of timing, based upon our choices and the things we decide to do and to say. And this year is no different. Our choices and our decisions will shape our experiences this year. The writer mentions human timing to make us think about the things we choose to do. There are some natural things that are going to occur this year, but there are some other things that are going to occur because of what we decide, what we choose, and what we do. And so his point is about human timing is that we need wisdom-based timing. We got to operate with wisdom. We need to employ wisdom timing. There's a time to hate, and there's a time to love. And you've got to use wisdom to make the choice and to know the difference. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. You got to use wisdom to know the difference. We've got to exercise wisdom. There are some things that we can't do, and there are some things that we can't say. There are some places we can't go. And wisdom teaches us when the timing is right. This is not my paper. Just popped in my head. So, and it's not even my illustration. My daughter, when she was here for Thanksgiving, I was standing at the island in the kitchen. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, I can see where Regine got her flat behind." In other words, she got it from you. Time to speak. Time to keep silent. Because at that point, what popped in my head was, oh, I can see And I was going to give her an example. But while I could laugh about what she said to me, she might not be able to laugh about what I said to her. So I kept my mouth shut. Thank God that time I did. You have to exercise wisdom. A thing might be right, but the timing might be wrong. And sometimes we get into trouble because of bad timing based upon our choices. We cannot go around and say, well, I'm right about it, and I'm standing up for my position. If the timing is not right, you ought not do it. You ought not say it, because timing is critical. And you have to use wisdom. An older woman once told me about the advice that her mother shared with her when she was a teenager about kissing boys. And she said that her mother wanted her to be wary about rushing into romantic situations. This was, you know, decades ago. And she said that her mother said to her, too much upstairs business causes downtown trouble. So stay away from upstairs business. Now, y'all get that on your way home. Because if you upstairs doing the kissing, huh? Y'all got it? Our choices impact our experiences. And this new year presents to us choices. And how we decide will determine what we experience. If you want better and different experiences in 2023 than you had in 2022, you've got to make better and different choices. We have a role, beloved, in determining the outcome for our lives. You cannot expect things to get better if you're continuing to do the same things. Somebody said that's the definition of insanity, expecting different results but doing the same things. And so this year is shaped by human-induced time. Didn't know my paper, I'm going to drop this off for free. Don't be running in the church praying for the Lord to take this off you and this burden off you, and you brought it upon yourself with your own stubbornness, with your own craziness, and with your own bad choices. If you want it to be better, do what is right. Do what you're supposed to do. If you want a paycheck, you got to get up and go to work. If you want to have a house, you got to pay the car note and the house payment. You cannot just drop out the sky, somebody. Human-induced timing. One more thing and I'm done. It's natural timing that he talks about. Rhythm of life. And then there's human-induced time. What choices, decisions we make. And then there is divine timing. Because the text says, what do workers gain from their toil? He said, I've seen the burden that God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, that no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Now, if life contains a level of inevitability, things that just are going to naturally happen and occur, if there is natural timing, and if humans don't make wise choices, what's the point of it all? And the writer asks a similar question. He said, what do workers gain from their toil? That's an important question, because then the writer points to God. And God, the writer asserts, has shaped time and experiences. God has made everything suitable in his own time. There is divine timing, which means that everything that takes place under the providential plan and watchful eye of God. Divine timing. Everything that takes place under the providential plan and watchful eye of God. Divine timing means that God moves according to God's will. Humans are dependent upon the determinations of God. And everything takes place within God's suitable timing. So I want us to know that this year isn't just dependent upon weather patterns. We don't know what the weather will do this year. This year isn't just dependent upon the decisions of rulers and governmental leaders. We don't know what the president will do. We don't know what Congress will do. We don't know what the governor will do. You see, gets homeless people, puts them on a bus, and sends them to the home of the vice president. You don't know what some of these folk in power will do. But this year, like every year, is not just dependent upon what those persons do. This year, like every year, is dependent upon the will of God. And the wisdom of human timing is useless without the foundation of divine timing. You can be as wise as you want to be, but if your wisdom is not rooted in the wisdom of God, it is useless wisdom. You can think you're operating with the right timing, but God has his own timing. God shapes the future, and our survival is in God's hands. And that means that this year, like each year, we should look to God for guidance and support. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You better know it, beloved. And so you might say, well, Pastor, how do we know where God is leading? How do we find out the wisdom of God? Several sources. We know first by following the word of God. You want to know what God's will is? Get into the word of God. We know second by listening to and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the believer's life. He's not just a feeling that shows up and makes you shout on Sunday. He's a presence and a power that gives you the capacity to walk straight when you come down from shouting. We know third by prayer and communication with God. You want to get from God? Talk to him. Don't just talk to him on Sunday. Talk to him every day, and God will talk to you and tell you what he's doing. We know fourth by the support of the community of believers. You got a bunch of saints in here, seasoned saints, who've been on this Christian journey a long time. They've got a lot to share with you about the will of God and the wisdom of God. Talk to them sometimes and listen to them. If we follow those things, we'll know where God is leading us. Talking about divine timing. And let me say something else about God's timing. We cannot put God on a time schedule. We cannot write out our itinerary and then hand it in to God and say, this is what I want you to do. And this is how I want the year to go. God has his own timing. God has his own. We cannot tell God when, and we cannot tell God how to act in our lives. And if you don't get anything else, I've said it before. When you pray this year, stop trying to tell God how to do it. Stop trying to tell God what to do. Just tell God what you're asking for and leave it in God's hands, because nobody knows better than God how to answer your prayer and how to work in your life. God knows when to move. That's why the psalmist said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So enjoy this year, but entrust it to God's time. In the meantime, the writer says, as you are operating in divine time, he says, all you have to do is be happy and enjoy life. What wise words. Be happy and enjoy life. These are gifts from God. And I don't care how old you are. Don't sit around this year and wait for death to come. Saying, I'm a certain age. There's nothing left for me. So I'm just going to sit around and wait until God loads down the chariot and carries me to the other side. Don't sit around and complain about what you don't have. And spend your whole year just complaining. You know, about your knee, about your elbow. Everybody got a knee. You keep on living, you're going to get some creaks. You keep on living, your body's not going to be the same. But the alternative is different. If you see, you can either be alive and have a creak in your knee or be in the ground and not be able to feel anything. Don't sit around and complain about what you don't have. And don't sit around and wait for enjoyment to come to you. Waiting for some joy and some happiness to enter your life. Live your life and trust in God. Be happy this year. Don't go around being angry and frustrated all the time. Tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. Enjoy your time and be happy. When your kids come over, take your time. Enjoy them. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends and be happy. I once knew a woman who worked her entire adult life. She saved her money and did not take any vacations. And from time to time, her friends would invite her to join them on many trips and excursions. They said, we're going to take an Alaskan cruise. And she wouldn't go. She refused to go. And she kept on telling them that she was saving for retirement. And she had put together a list of places that she wanted to visit and things she wanted to do in her retirement. She kept saying her thinking was, I want to have enough money to do whatever I want to do in retirement and not worry about anything. I understand that. I get that. But then the woman finally retired. And less than 1 week later, she dropped dead. She never drew a retirement check. She never took a trip or vacation. Her plan was to do it when she retired, but life had other plans. So enjoy your life while you can, because life is short. And leave things in the hands of God. When we leave things in God's hands, we can go fearlessly forward into the future. We can go fearlessly forward into the future because God knows what the future will be. Don't worry. Trust God. One more thing and I'm out of your way. I want to leave you with a familiar story about divine timing. Help you to focus this year. It's in the Gospel of John. You remember the story of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. He got sick, right? And his sickness was serious and severe. They sent for Jesus, and Jesus didn't come. And Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death." And Jesus stayed where he was. And finally he shows up. And when he arrives, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. And Lord, Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know he'll rise in again at the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Who you think you're talking to? Look at Jesus. "The one who believes in me will live even though they die." And she said, "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is coming to the world." They take Jesus to the grave of Lazarus. Jesus is moved and he comes to the tomb. And the stone was laid across the entrance. And Jesus said, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. And Jesus said, did not I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the Bible said the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Look at this. You need to trust Jesus enough this year to let Jesus take your grave clothes off. To tell Jesus, I trust what you can do. Take the grave clothes off. Somebody says you can't make it, say loose me and let me go. Somebody says God won't answer prayer, say loose me and let me go. And I tell you, this year doesn't matter when God comes. Whenever God comes, that's the right time. It might be 4 days in your mind too late, but when he shows up, that's the right time for him to show up. Somebody said, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. May not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Trust in the Lord. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. You ought to hold to his hand. There's nothing impossible with God. I don't care who's against you. I don't care what the obstacles are. I don't care what the difficulties are. Nothing impossible with God. Some of us are going to go to the doctor this year. The doctor is going to give us a report. And some of those reports might not be good reports. But you cannot just listen to that doctor. When the doctor gets through talking to you, say, I know another doctor. His name is Jesus. He's got healing in his wings. He's got all power in his hands. He's able to do what he says. He's able to make a way out of no way. He's able. Trust him. Invitation. Christ is extended. Will you stand with me as our ministers, deacons, greeters come? And if you are online, you want to join, go to belonging at ebc3austin.org. Let us know. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled. Time is filled with swift transition. Oh, no, of earth unmoved. Hold to God. Hold to God's hand. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. You ought to hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Things eternal. Trust in him who will not leave you. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring. Whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly freedom. friends forsaken. Still more closely to him cling. More closely. Oh, you are home to his hand. God's unchanging. You are home. One more time. This is the verse I like. When your journey is completed. When your journey is completed. If to God you have been true. If to God you have been true. Fair and bright the home in glory. Enraptured soul will view. Enraptured soul will view. Oh, you ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. You ought to hold to his hand. God bless you.
God's unchanging hand. You just give.
Will you stand with me and let us share the covenant together? Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels in this assembly,
most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another. Body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love,
to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The blessing on the cup and the bread.
Oh God, this morning, this afternoon, we're thankful for your blessing and the gift of life that we share through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, we're thankful for his body that was broken for our sins. And we ask, oh God, that it would be to us a reflection and also a token of his love that he shared for us. Lord, our prayer this morning is that as we circle around this table, as we gather in our homes to partake of Jesus Christ's body and blood, that we would also remember his sacrifice for us. Lord, allow us to know that as we gather, we also thank God for his perfect timing, for his will, and for his blessings over our life. Lord, bless this table. Let it be a memory, a remembrance to us of what you've done through your Son and through the love that you've shed on the cross. Through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
All the blood that gives me strength from death
to death,
it will not. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. It soothes. And calms my fears. And it dries all my tears. All the blood that gives me strength. All from death to death. Everyone been served. As we eat and drink together, let us remember the Lord Jesus. I remember.